G'day and welcome to the Hunting Connection podcast. My name is Zach Williams and I am your host. Here we'll connect you with hunters, fishers and outdoor enthusiasts from around the globe. This podcast will share hunting and fishing stories, including past experiences, and tackle the tough hunting stereotypes our community faces. We hope to be a positive influence to those outside the community while also having a laugh along the way. Hope you enjoy the podcast. G'day and welcome to another episode of Hunting Connection Podcast. Today's episode, doing a bit of a rut cast. I'm joined by Cody Gearon, the Podstitute. How you doing, mate?
All right, just whoring myself out to all the podcasts as usual.
Oh, everyone seems to go to your last minute if they need a quick scramble like I am tonight.
Yeah, buddy, sloppy seconds.
That's it. So I thought we'd just have a chat about the rut and the roar and clear some things up for people and find out what you're up to and how you're hunting it and how you normally approach the rut and the roar and different tactics and tips and You know, you get a couple of nice deer every year, I think.
Oh, on and off. Depends on, buddy, what the season's like.
That's it. Speaking of season, how's it all looking on your side of things?
There's plenty of a green pick around, but, the ground's, it's a bit dry and it's still warm. Like, I'm waiting for a nice frost to come through. Hopefully in the next couple of days we'll get a frost. But, it's those cold nights and those warm days are really starting to kick in now.
That's good. Has feed been in your area over the last few months during antler growth?
So around November, early December, like the place was bare. Like you're kicking dust up everywhere. Like it wasn't a pick of feed around. Fortunately, we got a bit of rain there about Christmas time, and we've got some continuous storms all through the summer. So that's picked up a lot of feed, and hopefully that's put a bit of an antler growth. I have seen some young stags there during the summer period, but they've got good antler, but like they're still short and very young. But like I've yet to get a good look at a proper old boy yet to see how he went.
Yeah, beautiful. You sent through a couple of photos the other day. I definitely would be pulling the trigger on on them if I had reds in the area, but not like the quality of the reds that are in that area.
Yeah. No. Although that one I sent you was pretty tempting to have a crack at, but I was like, nah, we'll sit back and see what happens.
Yeah, that's it. It's been pretty much the same here. It's been pretty green up until January, up in the hills where I'm hunting, and it's started drying off, you know, start of January, end of December. The bottoms of the gullies still had quite a bit of green pick in it. I went out 2 weeks ago with the young lad and, some of the gullies still had some nice green under, but a few of the dams are starting to dry up and that now. So hopefully that turns around with a bit of cooler weather coming through.
Hopefully.
Didn't really see anything. I've been real slack on scouting this year. It's been, been so busy with family commitments, haven't even been able to put trail cameras out. I've still got trail cameras out on one property from last year, and I haven't been there since the rut last year.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same too, because, you get the family commitments, get the work. I usually do my scouting through the work. So, I'll be out cattle mustering or buddy fencing, and I could sort of just have the binos there with me, and I could just have a bit of a glance around every now and then. I keep track of things that way, so that's sort of a privilege that I get that not many other people get. But, work's taken me away from the main red deer blocks, and, just a couple of buddy family things have happened recently that's slowed it down, but, nice, we're working through that one.
Nice little trip down to Adelaide and eventful trip to Queensland for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll jump into that quickly. What do you think of Adelaide and South Australia? Is it as a desert as Josh from Send It Mate makes it out to be?
He's not too far off. Like I, when you sent me like for a bit of a tour through the Adelaide Hills there, me and the missus went for a sticky beak around there. It looks fairly similar to the country that you find around here, like around Sofala and Hillland and like that sort of gold mining goat country.
Yeah.
It looks quite similar to that.
Yes, I would say it is very similar. It's not as flat as a lot of New South Welshmen think it is when they first come over here.
Oh, once you get out from Adelaide, it's pretty fucking flat.
Yeah, once you get down into Adelaide, it is, that's for sure. But then, yeah, once you get into the hills, it's not as flat as people make it out to be, or dry.
Yeah.
But, you know, even when...
She was pretty fucking dry. Like, you were saying, oh, yeah, like, you come down here during the wet time, or looked around and said, are you fucking sure?
Well, compared to some previous summers, this has been a pretty mild one. I reckon we only had a couple of days break 40. You know, usually around the weeks leading up to Christmas, we got, you know, 2.5 weeks of 40, 45 degrees plus, you know, not dropping below 35 at night.
Yeah, like we got a few high 30 days, but we never, I think we probably had like 2 or 3 days where we hit the 40 mark.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it hasn't been like a terrible summer. Like I remember when I first moved into the house that we're in now, like we had the aircon cranking all the time because we were getting some big 40-degree days there for a bit, but the last summer it didn't get that bad.
Yeah, it's good. I'm hoping that because there was a bit more green pick around, that the antler growth is a bit better this year. You know, my main fallow blocks aren't really great for genetics, so you know, getting any source of feed that fattens them up and helps with antler growth will be good.
Yeah, no, well, you just got to see what the season brings now.
That's it. And you were going on a chittle hunt. What happened there? What caused that to be on pause?
Well, so we were planning a family holiday up to Cairns and Townsville. We had friends up at Townsville that we wanted to go see before they moved away from there down towards Melbourne, where they're looking for work down there. So I thought, we'll go up there, catch them while they're still there. And I thought, well, don't know the next time we're going to be that far north into prime chittle country, I'll sneak a hunt in. So I booked the hunt in through a couple of mates, got it all worked out for a 2-day hunt. And we were going to spend a week up at Cairns, then I was going to come back and do a hunt, then like we were going to chill around and have a look around Townsville for the remaining of our time there. As we went to Cairns, me and the missus booked a massage at the cabins, like at the caravan park we were staying at. So she went first and got her massage, and I took the kids to the splash park. And then we switched, and then she took the kids to the pool while I went and got my massage. While I was getting my massage, the missus went into the design of the pool was not very safe, yeah. Very stupidly built when I went and had looked at it later. But what ended up happening was that she slipped on a tile into a bit of a drop bank in the pool, and she ended up ripping the skin off one foot down to raw nerve and
Jesus.
Breaking the other foot.
Fuck. Not good, yeah. I just remember, like, you're like, yep, going out hunting soon, got it all sorted, we're heading up there in the next couple of days, and then you sent me a message saying, oh, I don't think I'm going out hunting anymore. The partner's broke her ankle. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, so we spent the rest of... So that was on the first day of the proper holiday, so we spent the rest of the time in Cairns dealing with doctors and hospitals, like trying to work out what's exactly happened. And I think what's happened is she's broken the third bone back from the toes.
Yep.
So, you've got to keep it elevated, like you can't do anything. Or I try to sit, me being selfish, I try to salvage the hunt in some manner, but like it just couldn't be done. Like there was no way like she could handle two kids with, and like having two busted feet. So we pulled the plug on the whole trip, and yeah, we flew back to New South.
Oh, bloody eventful when you didn't even hit the ground, man. That's devastating, but I hope your partner's healing up and she's on the mend.
She's on the mend slowly. I just got to keep encouraging her to, you know, keep off her feet because, yeah, she hates sitting still. Like, she needs to be out accomplishing and achieving stuff, so it's very difficult for her to be sitting still for such a long period of time.
Oh, I bet.
It's been hard for her.
Oh, I've been there with a broken ankle, man. I was stubborn and didn't go to the hospital for a couple of days, and you know, kept trying to walk on it and push through it. I think I tried getting out with a bow and trying to shoot a couple of hares limping around on it, and then eventually went to the hospital, and the nurse is like, "What is up with your ankle? It should not look like that." I'm like, "Yeah, it hurts a bit." And yeah, ended up getting
just a little bit.
Ended up getting a cast on it, and I've just sitting on the couch for like 2 weeks, and I'm like, I can't handle this. So rang a mate up. He's like, "Oh, let's go bow fishing." So ended up going out bow fishing while on crutches.
Yeah, well, she's in the moon boot because they had to the whole cast thing, that was a bit pointless trying to put her foot into a cast. So she's just got to grit her teeth and try to get through it. The one that scraped the skin, it's almost all but healed, but yeah, she's still got a bit to go on the broken one. So it's just a long, painful waiting process to get to the finish line.
Oh, hopefully she heals before your rut season, raw season kicks off, so you can get out, as selfish as that sounds.
But she understands. Her and the kids are coming out with me out to the farm for the Easter weekend to do a bit of a hunting. She might be sitting up, but yeah, like, I'll try to take the kids out with me and while trying to guide a couple of mates that are coming out.
Yeah, beautiful. Has it starting to look around your area right now? It is the 27th of March. How are things starting to look around your area for deer sign and activity?
So I don't really get out and look for sign like everyone probably should, because one of my main blocks that I look at, it's fairly open, so I can sit back from a distance and I sort of just go, if I can see deer moving and I can see a stag carrying on, like, then I know it's on. So I sort of use one block as an indicator block for the rest, and then said, righto, they're carrying on here, so they should be going off elsewhere. And it's usually from this period, like, it should be starting to get off at any day now.
Do you notice it like kicks off a very similar time every year, or is there certain, I know people say the weather doesn't have much to do with it, but do you notice that as soon as that weather starts cooling off in the mornings?
I think it's a combination of both. Like, I'll go back through the years, I'll look at the dates on photos I've taken of raw and red stags, and I'm like, it's always in the same week period that they're like at their peak, going at their hardest. But at the same time, if it's a little bit too hot, they won't go as hard. So as soon as that good cold snap is just something just switches in their head that makes them go just even harder, rather than just trying to keep a little bit quiet and try not to overheat.
Yeah, beautiful. This is an off-cuff podcast. I don't have my usual lineup of questions, so I'm thinking on the fly here. What's the difference between the fallow in your area and the reds in your area? Like, what do the reds usually start going first, that towards that end of March, and then early April the fallow start going, or are they very similar?
It's hard to say with the fallow, because like, I've not really caught the fallow croaking or anything like that in my area, just because like, I'm always focused on the red, so tend to ignore the fallow. But everyone else, like people I went to the ADA with and other local hunters, they're more focused on the fallow than I am. So they might have a bit of a better idea, but it tends to be that they go off that little bit later. So it tends to be probably about like early, mid-April that they go off, and it's always early April, late March for the reds.
Yeah, beautiful. When do they start, the reds start separating from their bachelor mobs into you know, their single stage where they're out looking for hinds and satellite stags are cruising around.
Yeah, they'll be probably about mid March, they'll start separating and like not becoming friends anymore. Like you're still like early March, you'll still see them bachelored up, and then you'll go through that roof pee where you don't see them and you're seeing the hinds, and then yeah, about now you'll, if you see a hinds and you watch them long enough, you'll see a stag lingering around somewhere.
Now, for the newer guys, you know, I've only hunted reds a couple times, once in the raw. Fallow's my main lot. What are you looking for when you're chasing reds? Are they going back to the same areas? Are they using the same scrapes and same rub areas? Or is it very different each time?
They all tend to pick their little spots, little areas, and they often do a bit of a circuit. Like what I've seen is that the hinds will be doing a circuit. The hinds are chasing the feed. So the hinds will be going, like they'll be doing their thing that they've always been doing. Like, oh, we'll go here for a feed, then we go up here at the bed and here for water, and then they just keep doing that. And the stags just sort of following them around and trying to keep the harem together. And then every now and then, like, you'll watch them and you think they've gone away, but then suddenly you'll be there trying to keep up with them. Then the stag will come charging back to make sure he hasn't left any behind. So, like, yeah, it's like it's the hinds sort of dominate what they're doing. But then every now and then, like, if you'll find those satellite stags, they'll be just out wandering in the middle of nowhere where there's no hinds at all, just trying to find some sort of action.
Yeah, beautiful. Do you find that they wallow in your area, or?
Yeah.
They do? Yeah, beautiful. I don't really get any wallows or anything here, you know, fallow. As far as I've seen, don't really do it, especially in my area. If they do, they're pretty. They tend to hit the same scrapes up every year. So like the same scrapes I've hunted off of for the last 4 or 5 years plus, they seem to be on this property anyway, on those same scrapes every single year, which is good. It makes them a bit more patternable, but the scrapes are in difficult places to get down to because it's just cornflakes all the way down to them.
Yeah, I've heard that from multiple people too, like they'll use the same scrape every year, like for fallow. The fallow, wallowing for fallow, you multiple people will tell you that they don't wallow. And that seems to be true, but I have heard one or two people call bull on that and say that they do wallow. So I think it might be depending on where they are and what sort of heat and crap they're trying to deal with. So I think if you're in a bit of a hot spot and a bit of a dry spot, they might wallow. But if you're in the nice green, plenty of feed and whatnot about, they probably won't feel the need as much. I probably don't know. I'm having a bit of a guess on that one.
Yeah, it's, you know, every area I hunt them, they seem to be not very different, but, you know, different enough that makes the hunting hard enough, you know, even on different sides of one of my bigger properties, you know. One's got a decent amount of cover and there's pretty hard to pattern in there, but in the areas where they tend to be out in the open fields, they tend to be a bit easier to pattern.
Yeah, well, my general strategy, like if I get into an area and my goal is to listen. As soon as if I don't hear a roar in the first while, I'll let one out myself and I'll see if I can get a reply. If I don't get a reply, that tells me that they've been under a fair bit of pressure and they don't want to talk, or you've missed that peak period. But if you do get a reply, then like you just keep following it and try to keep him talking as much as possible, but try not to overdo it to the point where he goes, shit, I don't think I can handle whoever's coming over here to take me on. I'm going to take the hinds and move off.
Yeah, so you're doing a bit of calling. Do you have like a roaring tube, or are you just using your hands?
Bit of both. I use my hands if I don't have my horn. I've got like a plastic green horn, it's not like the it's not the ones that the Bighorn caller or that the boys have made. Well, back I got this thing from New Zealand like a couple of years ago, and I've had that since I was like 15.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I use that every year, and yeah, so that just like if you're a bit of a tight ass and you can't even buy one of those horns, you can just get a milk bottle and just cut the bottom of it and just use that.
Do you find that you're just more locating, like locate calling rather than trying to call them in, or do you try and actively try and call them in as well?
I will actively try to call them in if it's an archery situation, just because when if I'm rifle hunting, you can locate them and you can usually sneak in and you can usually get a shot before one of the hinds bust you. You can't do that with the bow, so you've got to get him to play the game and come to you. So you'll get in there, you'll find the stag, and you'll find him amongst the hinds. If you're like in sight distance and thick scrub, you let off a bit of a roar, he'll perk up and go, shit, there's someone right here, I better go sort him out. But they're still pretty switched on. Like a couple of years ago, we roared one into 15 metres, but the whole time he was walking right around our position trying to catch our wind, and he just never gave a clear shot the whole time. And yeah, like if they get suspicious and like, I can't see what you are, I do a little bit more investigating in that thick stuff. But like out in the open, it's usually too open to even try bow. Yep. It's usually like if you're going to shoot one and it's a good one, it's a rifle scenario, and make sure that it's a big hard enough pill to do the job.
Now, going through one of the deer hunting Facebook pages, I'm just going to go through a couple of questions that have been being asked and see your thoughts and opinions on it and see if you can give any advice. First one that's come up, do reds respond to rattling?
You know what? That came up in conversation at an ADA meeting years ago, when I don't know if anyone's actually tried it to find out. So, if someone's tried it, I'd like to hear from them and tell me about it. Because I'm curious to know. But like,
you don't hear of many people doing it. I just read in the comments, people say yes and responding to hind calls. So most of the comments on there are yes. I was just curious if you've tried it. Maybe you'll have to give it a go this raw. Grab some antlers. See if there's a difference between fallow and red antlers, and see if you can call them in with fallow antlers or not.
I've got plenty of red casties kicking around, so I should probably give it a go.
Yeah, definitely curious. You know, I've got one of those. Have you done much rattling for fallow?
The one there over my shoulder, that's my first archery fallow buck, and we got him by rattling him in.
And when what time of year, what time of the rut were you trying to rattle him in?
Yeah, that was about April. I think that was about mid-April we got him. Like that was another Easter weekend, but that was during the April. That was, God, that's a bloody decade ago now. I reckon when I shot that thing, but like, I remember the bucks were croaking and carrying on hard, and like, just if you got in the right spot, like anything would respond to the rattle.
That's like good.
You'd get any sort of deer, they'd come poking in. Like, I shot that thing at 10 meters.
Yeah, see, I've had a couple of young bucks being rattled up for me by friends, none presenting a shot. But when I've gone out by myself, I don't have that much luck with rattling. You know, I'd try it every year. I've actually upgraded my rattlers this year to a bigger set. You know, I've always had this, you know, 2.5-year-old or year and a half, yeah, probably a 2.5-year-old head, and I've probably gone up to a 3.5-year-old head now. So see if that makes much more of a difference. You know, you see people rattling with ginormous antlers, so I'll try something a bit bigger and see if that gets the bucks a bit more interested.
Yeah, Yeah, well, we had like a good palm set to rattle in that fella, and like it seemed to do the trick. Like all the rattling seemed to have worked. But yeah, like that were a big set of antlers that we were using.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how that goes, because I got one of those, you know, the American rack packs, the plastic ones that clip together and you turn them sideways and rattle them in.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, I haven't had much luck with them either, but I give it a go every year. It's not, you know, I've got my croaking. I think my croaking's down packed and not too bad, but yeah, it's just the, you know, working out these gullies, trying to play the wind right, trying to get the days right, you know. Not last year, the year before I got in. Actually, might have been last year after I got back from New Zealand. My bow property that I usually pretty much only keep for bow only, I took the rifle out there and got in nice and close to a nice young buck that was croaking his head off. That would have been the 13th of April last year. Didn't get a shot, but you know, it's always good getting that close to a nice croaking buck, and it's always, you get in nice and close when you've got a rifle than when you've got the bow.
I think wind's probably your biggest killer for rut hunting, in my opinion, just because like if you get like a howl or of a day, like you're not going to hear them. And like on one of my good blocks, it's like it's some very steep mountainous gullies and real thick bush. And if you get on there on the wrong day, like you can't hunt it because the wind swirls all through it. And yeah, you got no hope of actually getting in close to anything. So if you've got to try to pick your days right and see what the wind does to have any success. But it's an effort.
Yeah, oh man, that's it. You know, this one property that's my closest property. I've got two spots I can enter off of. You know, one's reasonably high up, the other's lower down, but it's all on the same side of the property. And then the other two sides of the property is all private property, and so I can't access through those sides. And then the back of it's national park, so I can't access through that side either. And you know, if the wind's wrong, it's just, you pretty much have to ride it off, or you know, try and hug the fence line and work your way around the property to the back and then work your way back around. It can be an absolute pain in the butt.
Yeah, like I look at mine and say, like, God, depending on what the wind's doing, like if the wind's buddy up my neck, I usually got to go, like, do I walk across the open paddock and go right to the end and then like hunt my way back with the wind in my face, or do I go up and then hunt the open back, or do I hunt a different, like a, yeah, just got to try to work out what's the plan. I usually try to set up that I'm like spending time in the scrub the most, because like they're not always going to hang out in the open, especially the big secretive fellas.
Yeah, that's it. You know, this property that I'm talking about, it's just all scrub. The owners don't do anything with it. You know, I don't even think they leave their yard. So it's just pretty, pretty thick scrub. And you struggle to walk around, you know, and you have to try and, you know, I normally get in there around March and kind of clear my trails, you know, move sticks and branches off so I can kind of get in there a bit quieter. But yeah, Especially when I'm taking the younger lad out, it's a pretty steep property, so it's just a lot of cornflakes, a lot of sticks cracking and rocks tumbling. And
yeah, dragging the young fella along adds a bit of extra pressure too.
Yeah, that's it. You're taking him out this year to get on some roaring stags?
I'm going to try to take them both out. Like I've got the little Kathmandu pack ready for the little girl, and see if I'll bring the young fella out for a walk. I can at least get him out for a bit of a bushwalk, because, you know, they've can't let him be trapped in the house all day watching TV. He's a little bit obsessed with his tablet at the second, so I'm just trying to encourage him to sort of get away from it as much as possible.
Yeah, that's just the age. If you let him have it, it can be just that little bit easier sometimes. And
yeah, it's a bit of like take and give. It's like, well, when's the best time to let them have it? When's the best time to put your foot inside a nut? Get rid of that thing. Like, get it out of the house.
Yeah, they can learn some stuff off of it though, which has been good. My youngest has been watching lots of animal shows and sciencey stuff, so he's constantly coming up with questions and facts about different animals and stuff. So, you know, he was very curious out hunting the other day, lots of questions. You know, we actually got to see a few deer with him this time, and that's probably the first time he's seen that many deer together, so he was pretty excited about that. But the one thing he was really holding on to was the sunrise. He was just like, "Oh, Dad, the sunrise is so beautiful." And then everyone that he was telling that he was going at, they went out hunting, he's just telling them how beautiful the sunrise was. That was his favorite thing about the day. It was a beautiful, beautiful red sunrise. So that was one good thing about it.
Oh, we'll get plenty of those.
Yeah, that's it. Oh. Try and get him out a bit more this year. I'm going to try and do an overnighter with him on the bigger block, take the swags out and camp out, see how that goes and see if we can find anything croaking. You know, he hasn't actually seen a deer dropped yet. The oldest has seen a few, but, yeah, the youngest hasn't seen any. He just sees the meat and the the cooked meat when I get home and I'm butchering and cooking stuff, so...
Yeah, well, me and the young fella, we got a 9-point last year together.
Yeah, photos.
I was like, oh, wasn't planning on it, didn't think it was going to happen, but, like, I'm, you know, those are just, like, you know, to be able to share that with the young fella, that was pretty special.
Oh, that's it. You know, if I did try and get onto an injured spiker we seen, but there was no luck getting onto him. His whole back end, I reckon he'd been clipped by a car in the last few weeks, so his whole back end was lame, but he was still pretty switched on. As soon as those does started moving, he was the middle one moving around. So didn't get the shot opportunity on him I wanted. I was just going to put him out of his misery because he looked like he was in a fair bit of pain.
Oh, well, there we go. Find him when you can, you find him.
There we go. We got a little visitor.
Say, g'day, Zach.
How you going, Leo? Nah, too quiet.
You meant to be in bed? Nah, he's not very good at buddy talking to people. Wait a second. Especially if he's a bit dopey and tired.
I get like that too, mate.
Oh, I think we all get a bit like that. I don't think he can hear you either.
Oh, you got headphones in, that's probably why.
I got earbuds in.
He's probably like, who's this strange looking fella? I gotta wave back. So what are your...
No. Okay.
What are your rut plans this year? What have you got in the works over your rut and raw for the next couple of weeks?
Well, for this weekend coming up for Easter, I've got a bit of a crew coming out, so I've got some friends coming with a couple of bows. They're going to have a crack.
Beautiful.
And I got some friends coming in last second. Like, I had a bloke hit me up, just going, like, oh, I need a bit of a hand. Can you help me out? So I might be, might have to keep a bit quiet about that one because I'm not too sure what I'm allowed to say or what not allowed to say. So just know I've got more people to take out than I initially thought. Then I'm going to leave it quiet for a while. So I'm going to leave it quiet for a while. Then there's going to be some people that your listeners might recognise from South Australia. They're going to come up and have a crack as well.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm keen to see how that all pans out, and keen to see the photos. What about hunting for yourself? Are you squeezing a few days in there just for yourself before they get there, or...?
No, just between family and work-wise, it's a little bit too hard to sort of get time in for myself, so.
That's it.
You know, but I enjoy getting out with everyone else in garden, so that's fun for me, watching other people get success.
No, it's definitely good. Hopefully I can squeeze in a couple of days, catching up with a couple of people and going out, and just see how it all works off with my days off and their days off. But yeah, it's an exciting time of the year. It's what we all look forward to all year, you know.
Yeah, well, it's sort of the only time here where some people really save up for it, and that's the one time they really want to get out. So it's all like hands on deck for like majority of Australian hunters.
That's it. the fellow in the red, they absolutely love it and froth it. You know, do you change up your hunting tactics for the pre-rut, the rut, and the post-rut? Like, what's your...
No, my tactics are always the same. Like, I keep my distance and, like, try not to, you know, put too much pressure on an area. And, you know, if I see something of interest, then I'll put some work into it. But majority of the time, I'm being like a fly on the wall from a distance with the binos and just keeping an eye on anything I can see without putting that pressure on it. Because there's enough pressure on the neighbouring properties and from State Forest from, like, everyone else going in there.
Yeah.
So they're naturally going to push stuff onto my blocks. So I just try to keep back and let everyone else's mistakes sort of work in my favour.
Beautiful. And what about helicopter culling? You got some coming up, I remember you saying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the local land services have sent emails out to property owners requesting permission to do tropicals on their property. They all sent an email out, and the options were, you only gave the option whether you wanted to shoot them or not, or if to give an exception to an animal was feral goats, but they'd shoot everything else and leave the goats alone, or they just shot everything they saw. And like I know a few of the fellas and neighbours, they just said no outright to any culling, so...
That's good.
We'll see how that goes, but like, we'll, unfortunately, they'll still hit State Forest and they'll put a little bit of added pressure to the guys that only get access to public land, which is suckish for them because, you know, like, they, it's already hard enough trying to get on to them, like, with hunter pressure, then, like, they add that into it, so it's just a pain in the ass.
That it is, man. You know, they've announced the dates down here that they're doing the southeast, so there's a few unhappy hunters with that. They've released the dates that they're doing in Vic High Country, so there's a few.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, a lot of people were reading it wrong, thinking it was Easter weekend that they're doing it, but it's the end of April they're starting by the looks of it, so it's not great, but it's not the worst either. At least it's the end and not the start.
Yeah, it's like, could you imagine the blow up if they did stick to bloody Easter though?
Yeah, I don't know. It would be absolutely devastating for a lot of people. Yeah, it's just helicopter culling, eh?
Yeah.
Hopefully they be good this year around your property. I know you've had problems with it in the past of them chasing stuff out and chasing them back into the forest off of your property.
Yeah, well, yeah, they left it alone there last year, and yeah, we'll kick back and see what happens this year. I'll be keeping a close eye on the skies, I think.
Well, make sure you record so we can share this stuff around to make people a bit more knowledgeable about how they do it and, you know, the differences between the government colours and the actual hunters themselves, which is, yeah, you hear a lot of stories.
Yeah, awesome. All the stories.
But, yeah, we'll wrap this up. You know, it was only going to be a quick podcast, just a quick rut chat, you know, a rut cast, as some might call it. This will come out on Tuesday, whatever the date is there, just after Easter. So hopefully people have been successful. Hopefully people are getting ready to get successful. You know, I've seen Luke from the Hunting Republic podcast to just put 5 days, hard days in chasing reds around the Brisbane Valley there or up in Queensland somewhere. And it looks like he had his ass handed to him, the poor bastard. Looked like the weather was pretty, pretty wet.
Yeah, and then you got the likes of buddy Brett and Haynes. You've gone off and shot a bloody thick mongrel of a bloody thing. And
oh, what a head that was.
Written from ear to ear.
Oh, what a head that was.
Shit, it was thick.
Especially because it must have been a last minute hunt. Because when I was speaking to Hainsey last, he's like, "Yeah, oh, got nothing planned. You know, I'm just gonna hunt locally." And then next minute, I see him in New South with Brett. Well, I'll wish you luck, Cody. And everyone head over to Cody's Instagram. I'm sure you've all seen it by now. Follow him on his Rut and Raw adventures with all these special guests he's having down. Hopefully there's some more content to come out, not giving any hints out. But yeah, hopefully you have a good Rut and Raw and you find some nice animals for yourself and your guests. And I look forward to getting up there one day with you.
Yeah, no, we'll get you up here one day, like even if it's just to shoot a dirty old pig or something, like we'll get you up here for a crack.
Yeah, who would want to shoot a pig, seriously?
Oh, some bloke who doesn't believe they exist in Australia at all.
Yeah, I'll go up there and won't see one, I bet you.
Or you'll find a buddy mongrel sucker.
Oh, that's fine with me, you know, bacon seed, anything's getting an arrow thrown at it. Anyway, Cody, well, cheers for jumping on, and we'll say goodbye, and good luck, and keen to see what you get up to and what you drop.
Yeah, keen to see how you go as well when you're in, and to everyone that's listening, and like you know, if your rut has ended and you didn't have much luck, that doesn't mean your hunting's over. Like you still got the chance to bloody get out during the winter months and still have a chance of getting that bucks and stags. So like don't have to hook everything on the rut alone. Like there's still more time left in the year to have another crack.
That's it. It's not the end all be all. But it is when they're making the noise and having the most fun to hunt them. But then again, you can hunt them all year round. That's the one good thing about Australia, you know, the rut's the focus in the States and other countries because that's when their season is. Our season's, you know, 365 days a year, if you're lucky enough like you. Anyway, Cody, thank you very much for coming on. And, like I said, I'm keen to see how you fare this rut. I don't have very high hopes for myself this rut, but we'll see what shows up.
And I'll keep everyone posted anyway.
As will I. There'll probably be lots of sunrise and sunset photos on my end.
I'll get in on that hashtag Ollie Sunshine.
Easy, man. Have a good one.
But you too, mate.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Hunting Connection Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed our discussions and gained valuable insights into the world of hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. To stay connected with us and never miss out on an update, please be sure to follow us on social media, all at Hunting Connection Podcast. We appreciate your support and would love for you to share the podcast with your friends and family. Don't forget to tag us in your hunting photos on social media and let us know about your experiences. Your feedback is invaluable to us, so please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Together, we continue growing and delivering more captivating episodes for all hunting enthusiasts. Stay connected, stay informed, and keep pursuing your passion for the hunt. Until next time, happy hunting.